Today is the last of four Sundays on which the second lesson is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. The apostle wrote to the Christians at Colossae to remind them that all true religion is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is so because the Son of Mary is also God the Eternal Son, the omnipotent Word, by whom, for whom, and through whom all things were made. We read last week that a right relationship with the living God in Christ comes to us ordinarily through holy baptism, by which we are washed clean of our sins and made members of Christ's body, the Church. But our configuration to the dying and rising of Christ requires that we learn to live in keeping with the grace and dignity of our baptism, by which we are conformed to the cross. Last week, we read from St. Paul that you were buried with Christ in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And now, in today's second lesson, we read, if you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. This dying and rising of which the apostle speaks is not metaphorical. It is rather sacramental. The sacrament of holy baptism actually brings about in us what it signifies. And so the baptismal font is both a tomb and a womb. The child of wrath dies in baptism so that the child of God may be born again by water and the Holy Spirit. But living that new life of grace requires our cooperation and our willingness to die to self. And that is why we should shape our entire lives according to the liberating truth of the Word of God, by cooperating with the grace of God. Only by grace through faith in Jesus Christ do we find the strength to do what Paul exhorts us to do. Put to death, then, the parts of you that are earthly, immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and the greed that is idolatry. Stop lying to one another, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed for knowledge in the image of its creator. Please notice the image Paul uses to describe the work of continuing conversion. Take off the old self and put on the new self. Like changing our garments, Paul says, we leave the old life of corruption behind in order to be clothed with a new life of grace. But this clothing is not like the garments with which we cover our bodies for modesty or personal style. No, this clothing is more like a uniform, which discloses our true identity both to ourselves and to others. St. Paul uses this same image of clothing in Galatians 3:27, where he writes, "For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ." And again in Romans 13:14, where he teaches, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh. So in holy baptism, the Lord Jesus becomes our new self, our true self. For Christ is all and in all. That is why a white garment is part of the rite of baptism. After a child has been born again by water and the Holy Spirit, she is then anointed with sacred chrism, which both points to her confirmation yet to come and also consecrates the new Christian to a life of holiness. Then after that anointing, the minister of baptism points to the baptismal gown and says to the child, "You have become a new creation and have clothed yourself in Christ. May this white garment be a sign to you of your Christian dignity. With your family and friends to help you by word and example, bring that dignity unstained into eternal life." Last week in the second lesson, we read this: "You were buried with Christ in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God." And then today we read, if you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The grace of holy baptism makes this new life possible for us, but the sacraments are not magic. They are instruments of grace which require saving faith and our cooperation with God to have their intended effects in our lives. But too often, even those of us who have been born again in holy baptism do not truly seek what is above. Too often we seek only the four earthly P's: pleasure, power, possessions, and popularity. But friends, seeking pleasure, power, possessions, and popularity is not why we exist. And so having these things cannot satisfy the deepest desires of the human heart. When we raise up earthly things above friendship with the Lord Jesus and above our true purpose, which is living for the praise of God's glory, then we make idols or false gods of blessings that are not bad in themselves and should otherwise be small but legitimate parts of a life that is happy, holy, and authentically human. In our first lesson from Ecclesiastes, Koheleth the preacher explains the folly of preferring earthly things to the things of God. Vanity of vanities, all things are vanity. And in the gospel, we hear the Savior's warning about building a life on anything except the law of love. Take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions. This is why, by knowing the gospel, living the gospel, and sharing the gospel, we must learn how to be rich in what matters to God. To make such a life possible, St. Paul warned the Colossians not to be led astray by empty and seductive philosophies which promise liberty but result in slavery to our own disordered desires. And so we must always be on our guard against glittering illusions. Our culture, for example, teaches that human fertility is a disease that should be cured by drugs or surgery, that the ability to kill a child in the womb should be protected by law as a fundamental human right, and that a man can become a woman or a woman become a man simply by choosing it. These and similar falsehoods are but new versions of the serpent's original lie that men and women can become gods and find our authentic liberty by asserting that good and evil are determined only by what pleases us. But this vision of human life is simply contrary both to right reason and to the saving truth about human dignity and our eternal destiny revealed by God in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is why being a Christian in our time and in all times requires a constant effort to distinguish the truth of the gospel from seductive lies, and so to find in our baptism the faith, hope, and love needed to take up our cross and follow the Lord Jesus, who alone is the way, the truth, and the life. And we receive the grace to live in this way every time we participate in Holy Mass and worthily receive the body and blood of Christ. And we prepare for such worthy communion every time we make a good confession, in which the grace of our baptism is renewed. But to live as faithful disciples of Christ, we must first know and believe all that is revealed for our salvation. And that is what we call the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation for all who have faith. But more than that, once we know and believe all that is revealed in the gospel, then we must shape our lives according to that liberating truth and invite all others to do the same. And we do this through radical conversion, deep fidelity, joyful discipleship, and courageous evangelism. Friends, the way of life to which we are called by Christ is not easy. Indeed, it may be the hardest way on earth to live. But it is also the only way that leads to holiness, and so to true and lasting happiness. We should therefore heed the Apostle Paul: think of what is above, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, your life, appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. This hope of eternal glory sustains us when we are struggling to open every part of our lives and every corner of our hearts to the dominion of Jesus Christ and to allow his gospel to measure and correct everything about us. Our relationships, especially the romantic ones, our professional duties, our political choices, our financial decisions, and our personal behavior in every detail, including how we treat other people, most especially those who can give us nothing and who demand of us many things, including the poor, the despised, and the immigrant. In short, if Jesus Christ is not Lord of all in my life, then he is not Lord at all in my life. And that is why we are called to continuing conversion through the obedience of faith to the gospel. Of course, this radical surrender to the Word of God is beyond our strength. But the grace of holy baptism, in which we are clothed with Christ, makes it possible for us to die with him precisely so that we may rise with him and share his glory forever. And so every day of our lives is a new opportunity and invitation to live by grace through faith in him who is the power of God and the wisdom of God, the Word made flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ.